All right. Well, it's time to dive deep into the Word of God in the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. That's right. This segment of the show, we do a deep dive into the Psalms, the Sefer Telachim, the Book of Sung Praises, and we're using the Revised Grail Psalms, a liturgical psalter used for approve in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and translated by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And this is his own podcast, so you can go to Podcast Central at ew10.com. You can also use your favorite other secular podcast medium to get this show and download it as its own podcast, The Soulful Psalms. Well, today we're continuing our look at Psalm 107. So 107 starts book five of the last grouping of Psalms, 107 to 150. And this is a very long psalm. And so we have to take this in pieces. We've already looked at verses 1 through 9, and we're going to continue now with verse 10 and see how far we get today. I'm hoping to get to verse 16 today, but we'll see. We'll see what the Holy Spirit has in mind. All right, so this psalm, 107, is unattributed. So it doesn't say it was David or Asaph or sons of Korah or Jeduthun or Eitan or Nathan or any of those guys. And there's no prescript to the psalm as well. It just dives right in with verse 1. But we're starting today at verse 10. All right. So far in the psalm, what we've been exploring here is about giving thanks to God for his mercy. And this is kind of telling a little bit of the story about how God's merciful love have worked in the history of salvation. All right. And so we start with verse 10. Some dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death. So that verse right there should automatically be ringing bells in your mind. Wait a minute. Why does that sound so familiar? Right? Remember the Benedictus by Zechariah, when Jesus was brought for the for a circumcision presentation. They said, what name do you want to give him? And they said, Jesus. No, John the Baptist. Elizabeth said Jesus, and he said, wait a minute, that's not a name in your family. And remember that at that point Zechariah couldn't talk, so he wrote down his name is John. And at that point, that's when his tongue was loosed and he's able to speak, and he gave us that beautiful Benedictus prayer. Remember, in part of that prayer he said, Jesus is the light that shines on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace, right? So maybe, you know, remember Zechariah would have been. Remember he was went into the temple to offer the offer. He was high priest that year, so he went into the temple to offer the incense of sacrifice. And that's when the angel Gabriel came in and told him that his wife Elizabeth was going to be pregnant with John the Baptist. Right? He's going to bear, even in their old age, they're going to bear a son. So he would have known the scriptures. So it's not a stretch to say that Zechariah would have taken from this psalm when he was saying that beautiful Benedictus prayer, you know, as his heart was open, as he was seeing what God, how God was working in his life through John the Baptist and the forerunner of the Messiah, that it's definitely within the realm of possibility that he would have drawn from the Word of God as his inspiration for the Benedictus prayer. And this line right here, you know, is almost directly, word for word, what he says in the Benedictus. I love that. So again, some dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains. All right, so this imprisonment that we're talking about here, yes, it could be physical imprisonment, but probably what the psalmist is referring to here is the darkness of sin, right? Being out of the light, which is God, in the presence of God, we are prisoners in misery and chains. We're prisoners in the darkness of our own sinfulness, of our own lust and greed and envy and earthly desires and trying to find fulfillment in things that will never bring us true joy and peace in this world because we're doing those things apart from God. I think that's the misery and the chains, right? The chains that hold us back, the chains that prevent us from moving forward, that are restricting us from having that full experience, that full exposure to God's most sacred heart. And it continues, having rebelled against the words of God, right? What does your heart move there? Kids who are away from the church, right? Those who have moved away from faith in God. Maybe you grew up Catholic or you grew up as a believer, and now after exposure to the world, exposure to secular ideas, and because maybe your faith wasn't that deep, it didn't take root in your heart. You know, just like Jesus says, you know, it's like the sower that plants the seed, but it starts to grow, but because the roots aren't deep, it ends up dying or it ends up not growing to its full potential. And I think that's something that the psalmist was referring to here. Those who rebelled against the words of God, and what happens to them? They're the ones in misery and chains. They're the ones that are in the darkness.
I don't know if you've heard the song Chainbreaker by Zach Williams, but it literally encapsulates this passage in the entire song. But I pulled up the lyrics because I am terrible with them most of the time. I can remember the drum beat, but not the lyrics. But it says, if you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you've got loss, he's a way maker. If you need freedom and saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. And I love that because it's such a great chant when you're in that place of that you just feel shackled by the world, by your job, by relationships, by habits that you've created that you don't know how to break. And, you know, and just the visual of just, you know, a chain breaking savior. It's just powerful.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. And that we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit in Scripture today and how cooperation with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. who we pray as Catholics is Dominum et Vivificantem in Latin, the Lord and Giver of life, right? That life, participating in a life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit in Scripture, but I love this here too. So having rebelled against the words of God and spurned the plan of the Most High. Ooh, that's interesting. So when we turn our backs on God, we actually spurn the plan of the Most High, it says in the Psalms here. So in other words, God cannot work the plan that he had in his mind and heart because we're not cooperating with that plan. Ooh, just think about that for a second. God has a plan of how he wants to work in our lives, how he wants to work in our hearts, and we reject it. When we reject him, God can't work that plan. That's really interesting. It shows you how much God wants us to cooperate with his life. Now, of course, if God wants something to happen, he's going to find a way for it to happen. But he has to find another way without using us, right? Without using us. And that's what's so heartbreaking and dangerous about abortion. You know, you have a child that was aborted, and God had a plan for that child. You know, that child could have been the Pope. That child could have been someone that found the cure for AIDS or cancer. You know, who knows? But now God can't work that plan because that child is no longer alive, you know? So it's very powerful to think about just these few verses of the Psalms here, very powerful. He humbled their heart with toil. They stumbled. There was no one to help. Right? So when God presents a challenge in their life, they stumble, right? And they fall. Why? Because the Lord's not there. There's no one to support them because they're not looking for the support for the Lord. They're looking for the support for the culture. What happens? The culture will always let you fall. It will always let you fall because ultimately the culture will fail you each and every time. This is great. Then they cried to, see, now we have the turn back in verse 13. I think we're going to get to the 13 and 14. This is good. We got plenty of time to look at the rest of the psalm. Then they cried to the Lord in their need, and he rescued them from their distress. So all we have to do is turn back like the prodigal son, recognize our sinfulness, acknowledge our littleness before God, and in humility, turn our hearts back toward him. He led them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains to pieces. Yes. I love that. So the psalmist here gives us the plan for how we get out of the pit that we've dug for ourselves. Turn back to the Lord who wants to rescue us, who wants to bring us to light, who wants to move us out of darkness and the shadow of death and break those chains of sin. Amen. Love this.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.